Good morning and welcome to the broadcast today for Sunday the 23rd of August. And this is the broadcast for the children in Ignite. I hope you're well and I hope you enjoyed the quiz that we did last week. I've asked for all the old recordings to be better labeled in the on the website, so that if you do want to go back, it's easier to see now what each one is about. If you go on the website and have a look at the titles, it not only just gives the day, but it also gives an idea of what we were talking about. And I think that looks a lot better. I have to apologize today because I don't have a quiz. I just was not able to prepare one. A little bit of a busy weekend. But hopefully you'll still enjoy what we're going to be talking about today. And it can make you very, very keen to hear what the quiz will be for next week. So today we're going to start something new because we've just finished the quiz to mark the last 15 weeks of teaching. And today we're going to start talking about the parables of Jesus. I don't know how long this is going to go for because there is quite a lot of them. So let's get started. First of all, I want to explain quite a bit about what the parables are and why Jesus spoke in parables. And then we're just going to look at two small little parables today. And then we'll pick it up from there. Okay, so Jesus told simple, memorable stories that were easy for people to remember, and they were also easy to tell other people. They use a lot of interesting language, and they put pictures in your head, which is called imagery. And most of them are quite short, and they gave a very simple message. Some of the times they were very surprising and often sort of a little bit different to the message that was being told or being said by everyone else. They would really shake things up a little bit. So a parable, I've found, I've always had this definition sort of stuck in my head, that a parable is a story with a hidden meaning. It does have a moral to teach. It has a specific lesson that it wants to teach the people that are listening. And we're not just to think that Jesus was the only person who taught parables. There's stories in the Old Testament as well that are parables. I'm relying quite heavily. I have to give credit where credit is due. But I'm relying quite heavily on a website that I found, which is so good. I absolutely love it. And it's called swapmeetdave.com. And that website is the one I'm using for a lot of the notes and the ideas that have helped me to prepare for this. So it's not all my own work and it's not all things that I'm thinking. Of course, I'll do a bit of talking around that. But I have to say that website I found to be very, very helpful indeed. So there are 12 parables in the Old Testament. And they are written in 7 books. If you want to find out more about that, I can give you that information. But it's not really something that I want to go into right now. In this part that I found, there's 46 parables that Jesus taught, and all of them had like a special message. So one of the reasons that Jesus said he tells parables is that, you know, the people that accepted the message he gave, that accepted his ideas about the kingdom of God, it set them apart. It made them different to other people. The way they were thinking changed and the way they were talking changed. So there was a secret in understanding the kingdom of God. And the people that understood it found it easy to understand the message. So although Jesus talked to everybody and was the same to everybody, he did set apart a special group of people that he was sending this message to. And it's the same, that's the same thing that we see God has done throughout. Remember that when he looked at the whole world, he chose Abraham as his special people. There was a time he chose Noah as his special man to save the whole world. And then he had a covenant with Abraham, who was just one person in so many. And then there was a time when Jesus set aside 12 people, apart from all the people that were following him. He set aside 12 special disciples. So we see that that idea of people being separated by God for himself is not unusual throughout the Bible. Jesus selects people at certain times. When there are battles, sometimes he would set aside a certain number of people to do something, like we saw in the book of Judges, when we looked at the story of what's this reluctant man's name? Gideon. Gideon didn't want to be a soldier, but a leader, but God had chosen him especially. And when he went to God, he was saying, but I am not very important in my family, and my family is not very important in the whole tribe of Israel. But God had selected him to do a job. So it's not unusual for God to set aside people. And in the same way, the messages that Jesus was saying, the parables, were meant for certain people. It was not for outsiders. Other people would not fully understand them until they had sort of this insight of the secret of the kingdom of heaven. So that was not unusual. The parables also were very interesting ideas at that time, and they made people think. They made people think in a different way to what they had been taught or brought up to think. So we can still learn a lot from those parables even today. And they really are very, very interesting. Right, so the first parable that we're going to look at is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 16. Short and sweet, one little one. And in the Bible, it says, no one sews a patch of unshrunken new cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. And the second parable is very similar to it, and that's in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. And it says, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskin. If you do, the skin will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So at that time, Jesus was talking to a group of mixed people. They were, his disciples were there. The disciples of John the Baptist were also there, and also the Pharisees and Sadducees. And when he was taking this idea, he was taking them from what people did in that day. This was part of the culture. People would patch up old clothes. But he was saying that if you put a new bit of cloth on an old coat, it's going to ruin it, because the new cloth is going to shrink once you start washing whatever garment it was you had sewn it on. And when that happens, The old cloth will not shrink anymore because it's been washed a few times, but the new cloth would now shrink. And when it did that, it would pull more and make a bigger hole than the one that you were trying to repair. So that's what that is talking about. And then the second, the second proverb, which is talking about old wine, new wine being put in old wineskin. In those days, they made wine and they put them in, not in bottles like we see nowadays, but they put them in wineskins. And the wineskins, if they were new, would swell up because the wine would ferment. It would carry on fermenting, which is all these chemical reactions that happen. And when those chemical reactions happen, they produce gas. And that gas would make the new wineskin swell up a little bit more. And then over time, that wineskin would get hard and then would be just as good as a bottle. But Jesus is saying, if you put new wine in a wineskin that's already been hard, and it's already been hardened up, when the gas exchange happens with fermentation, the gases will expand, but the new wineskin won't have room to expand, so it's going to burst the wineskin. And both the wineskin will be spoiled and the wine will be spilled out and lost. So what does that mean for us today? When we hear the good news or the things that Jesus is teaching us, it won't fit in with our old ideas, our old religion, our old laws, or the system that we're used to. Jesus's news is fresh. And we have to look at it in a different way. Maybe we are very comfortable with what we are doing or very familiar with the things around us. And we don't want to take on these new ideas or the good experiences and teachings that we have. But we have to do that. We have to look at being a Christian as a completely different thing. Otherwise, it won't fit easily into our lives. So Jesus was saying that these old ideas that the Jews had, they had to change them in order to receive and accept the message that he was giving. Because this message was going to change their lives. And it was supposed to change their lives. So we should make sure that when we receive new things from Jesus, we're ready to change. And being a Christian affects every area of your life. It's a whole new life. It's not just another religion. And the people that were following John the Baptist also had to realize that Jesus's message was different to John's message. And they would have to change. And some of them did change and follow Jesus. And just like now, we find that some people are ready to be Christians, but some people are not. If you're ready to become a Christian, it's very simple. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want you in my life to bring new, fresh ideas that will change my life. Help me in everything that I do. Amen. And Jesus will hear you and he'll help you. He'll help you to find an adult to talk to about this. And then he'll help you to start changing your life so that you can show that you are changed from the inside, and then it starts coming out and your life will be very, very different. But it's for a good reason. I mean, Jesus's message is sometimes a little bit strange, a little bit different, but it helps you to enjoy your life, and it helps other people around you to enjoy their life. So it's really worthwhile. So next time we're going to talk more about the proverbs, that the parables that Jesus told, and we'll look at the lessons that we can get out of them. So let's pray before we go. Lord, I just thank you for all the people listening to this message as they're getting ready to go back to school. I pray that you help them to take on your fresh new message, and that it'll change their lives from the inside out, that they will not be like trying to force your ideas and teaching into old ways of thinking, but they will open up their hearts and their minds to how you want them to learn. Thank you for your secret messages in the Proverbs. We pray that you help us to understand them more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Do take care. God bless you.